News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. I am Brett Witterbull. It is great to be here with you live. I'm still in the Northern Command up here at the Rush Limbaugh Studios. Our phone number is always 704-570-1110. Want to get your thoughts on what it is that you've been seeing play out today across the news cycle. And one of the things that I think is so interesting about the way that news cycle is moving is that Joe Biden comes out and he says, hey, we're giving 500 million doses to all these countries that are suffering because of the coronavirus. Now, are those going to be the vaccines that are given out to countries from this horrible, awful, reprobate, systemically racist nation that is a horrible blight on the world as it relates to climate change and our inability to do anything about it? Is that the country Joe Biden's talking about? Because that's what I want to know. We're so horrible. We're so terrible. We're a blight on the earth, and we're doing 500 million doses of vaccine going out to the world who needs it. Now, look, I understand why we're doing it. We are a very generous country, and I absolutely get that's what's going on here, because that's the sort of stuff you do when you're a good egg. Our country, we're a good egg. We do nice things like that. But, you know, I'm struck by a number of different things. And one of the things that sticks in my craw the most as somebody who's on the radio and getting a chance to hang out with amazing people is this. One of the things that I love more than anything in the whole world is the idea that we, as hated as we are still the country that's got the answer. We're still the country that has the answer to a lot of the world's problems. Nobody in this country claims to be perfect. I don't know of anybody that walks around saying we're the best country and everybody else stinks. I mean, there's a degree of pride that's obviously in place. We're proud to be Americans, but we don't, on average, we don't run around and tell people in other countries who are in need, well, you're terrible, you're rotten, you're stupid, you can't do it, none of that kind of stuff. We're a humble country, and we're an incredibly generous country. And when I see somebody like Biden go out on the world stage and take assets that we paid for, vaccines, you and I paid for that as taxpayers, when I see the way he talks about us as a country to folks, you know, I find myself absolutely perplexed when it comes to this constant narrative coming from a president of the United States that, well, you know, we're really not very good. Can you imagine the chief executive officer of a company coming out and saying, yeah, you know, we sell a lot of cars, but you know what? We're nothing special. And we're lucky that we're able to move this inventory, given the fact that the people that work at my company are a bunch of racists or bigots. You know, we sell items, we sell stuff, but we're not that great of a company. There's a lot of other companies that are better than us. And in fact, there are a lot of times that I sit back myself and say, as the chairman of the company, you know, we're not so great. We got to do better. We got to try to be more honest. Stop ripping people off. Stop treating people poorly. All that kind of stuff. That's not the case. It's not the case. And I think it's a fiction that is carefully articulated and created by people who deep down inside feel guilty about being Americans. Why would you want to be an American politician if your first order of business was to essentially think, no, this country's not so great. This country's not so special. This country's no great shakes. Why would you want to be a part of that as an institution or an organization? Why? Think about that. You know, just wrapping up the Rush Limbaugh show, as I did here at the EIB Northern Command in New York City. You know, it strikes me how true the beliefs of being a conservative really are when they translate out there into the world. Giving away vaccines is a charitable thing. That's charity. We're supposed to do that. It's not compelled. It's not forced at the point of a gun. It's a decision that's made by the federal government on our behalf, and it's frankly a decision that I totally agree with. We should absolutely try to help people who are unable to help themselves. That's our mission in this world. We've been blessed immensely, and we ought to then go try to help out people who are not as blessed as we are. But this idea that we're not special, there's nothing great about us, there's nothing that ought to be celebrated about us, to me is just absolutely, well, it's false. And the people who know that best aren't Americans. The people who know it best are people that we've helped. and who have no real way of manifesting any sort of a return to us in that regard. You have a horrible pandemic that came out. We are asking for clarity on what happened with that pandemic. We are also asking for specific answers about the cause of that pandemic. And we are told that that's wrong. Well, it is not wrong, because if it's valid to do an investigation into 9/11, or as the Democrats are pushing, the January 6th riots, then we should absolutely be looking for the answers as to what happens in this pandemic, because we lost 500,000 people in this country, and that's terrible. But you're talking about 6 and 7 million people losing their lives, many of them in the most vulnerable countries in the world that nobody speaks out for. Many of them unable to bear this burden of mothers and fathers and children dying who were needed to contribute to families, family units destroyed. And there's one place that we know this virus came from, and that was the People's Republic of China. We know on some level it began there. So it is incumbent upon us as the world's superpower to demand an investigation as to where this came from. It is incumbent upon us to ask the questions. And if we're told that we can't ask certain questions, we have to question the legitimacy of those people who are trying to stop us from getting those answers. This is not a complicated situation. This virus emerged. This virus killed millions. This virus killed almost 600,000 Americans. What happened? And how do we know it doesn't happen again? How do we stop it from happening again? Here's what it essentially comes down to. If you want to be the president of the United States, you have to be the president of the United States before you're the president of the world. But you have to also understand that being the president of the United States means that your default position should always be that America needs your attention first before we get involved.
You're out here hustling, but you're also using the McDonald's app to have your favorites delivered to your door. That's hustling smarter. Order McDelivery in the McDonald's app at participating McDonald's.
With everybody else. News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. Plenty of room for your phone calls. And if you want to pick up stuff that I talked about over on the Rush Show, absolutely, all that is fair game. If you want to know about my experience today, I'll certainly share that with you as well. I want to take this call, though, first, and it's Roy starting us off. Roy, welcome to the show. What's on your mind today, sir?
Hey, Mr. Winterbull.
Hey.
I heard you talk about us giving away 500 million vaccines.
Yes, sir.
And we're a charitable country. We do that. And there's, 160 countries in the world, and we give money to, 150?
Yes.
I mean, at what point do we stop some of that, start taking care of everybody here? We're going to have to pay taxes out the wazoo, and our homeless problem goes away, and the veterans are taken care of, you know?
I'm with you 100%. Look, here's the thing that we have to remember about this. And it was really the foundations of what you had when Trump was president, or when he was running especially, but when he was president. Because he was basically saying, why are we giving money to a lot of countries that probably hate us and just want our money? And that's really what it comes down to. And we are specially blessed in this country. We are endowed by God with a lot of blessings, and we should be a charitable country. As people, we are unbelievably charitable. I mean, the American people give tens of billions of dollars a year to aiding people in the United States and overseas. But when it comes to the federal government, you know, essentially, it's one of these things where you've got people just expecting that you're going to continue to hand out the largesse, and you're going to continue to hand out the money, and you're going to continue to hand out the stuff that they want without any expectation. And that's wrong. They would condemn Trump, you know, during his presidency, and they'd say, well, he's a transactional guy. He tells NATO they have to pay their fair share because he's acting like a bill collector. No, he's tired of watching us get rolled. And
exactly. I'm 65 and I'm still working.
Yes, sir.
I'm signed up for Medicare and all that, you know, and I'm costing me $400-some every 3 months, plus they're still taking all that out of my check. I'm paying for that. And then they're going to give me just a little bit of it back and hoping right. that I die before I'm 70. You know, they are.
That's a great point. And I hope and I guarantee you'll live beyond that. But let me just say this, Roy. Here's a great example of what I'm talking about. We have this horrible pandemic breakout. We start asking questions. And I mean, the general we as a country are asking questions. How did this pandemic happen? How did it spread? Why are people sick? What is going on here exactly? And here's John Kennedy last night on with Hannity. This is cut number three, TJ, Senator John Kennedy on Fauci.
Dr. Fauci needs to cut the crap. This isn't about Dr. Fauci. It's not about his feelings. And I'm sorry if his feelings were hurt. You know, maybe he ought to buy an emotional support pony. But we're not debating dance moves on TikTok here. We're talking about millions of human lives. And here's what we know. Dr. Fauci gave a lot of U.S. taxpayer money to the Wuhan lab for Chinese scientists to research bat coronaviruses. Neither Dr. Fauci nor any of his people can guarantee us that the Chinese scientists didn't use that money to do gain-of-function research and turn a normal virus into a supercharged virus. They weren't monitored. Dr. Fauci and his people didn't monitor the lab. And it's not like it hasn't happened before. Since 1992, there have been 11 different experiments, widely reported, in which scientists throughout the world and labs throughout the world have taken a normal virus and turned it into a supercharged pathogen.
That is a totally legitimate question that he is asking. And you notice what he says. He says that that hurt millions of people, not a few people, not just American people. John Kennedy understands the scope of this for the rest of the world. And that's the question we got to ask. Now, I'm going to let you hear the second part of this, because many people have been playing the whole he's full of crap and a TikTok reference. But Senator Kennedy gets very specific in the second half of this statement and his desire to get to the bottom of this. And I'm going to let you hear that straight ahead. Plus, taking your phone call, 704-5.
You're out here hustling, but you're also using the McDonald's app to have your favorites delivered to your door. That's hustling smarter. Order McDelivery in the McDonald's app at participating McDonald's.
It is the Brett Winterville Show, News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. So I was just chatting with Maimone here for a quick second. So John Kennedy is talking about the need to find out what it is that happened with this vaccine and this virus and all these pieces that are now happening. So when we last spoke, he said, you know, look, this is kind of like one of these things where we've got millions of people who have suffered as a result of this virus, and we want to get to the bottom of it. But part two of what John Kennedy said, I think, is even more powerful. Cut number four.
Number two, the biosecurity, and this is in terms of the lab leak, the biosecurity at the Wuhan lab sucked. We know that from American intelligence. And China has a history of lab leaks, 1977, 2004, 2019. Also, since day one, Dr. Fauci and his expert friends have told us, look, the virus occurred naturally. It jumped from a bat through an intermediate host into human beings. Well, it's been a year. Where's the proof? Where's the smoking bat? Do you really think if China could prove that this virus occurred naturally in nature, that it would withhold that evidence? No. It would be screaming it from the rooftop to get the world off its back. And final point, there was an article this weekend in the Wall Street Journal by Berkeley professor Dr. Stephen Quay. And no one's talking about it. But Dr. Quay said, look, if you take the fingerprint from the genome change that turned the bat coronavirus into the supercharged COVID-19 virus, and compare that fingerprint to the fingerprints of the 11 supercharged viruses that I just talked about that have been created since 1992, it's the same fingerprint. Maybe coincidence, but Dr. Fauci needs to address it, and he needs to hit these things head on. Otherwise, it's going to undermine public health, people's confidence in public health, and the American people are going to end up trusting Dr. Pepper more than Dr. Fauci.
Now, that is a huge point. First, the lab leak. First, the fact that the Chinese communists have been extraordinarily unreliable when it comes to getting finding out what the story is with securing their labs. I think the second point is awfully important as well, because he's telling you, hey, wait, hold on one second, everybody. The Chinese, it would behoove them to show us the evidence of what it was that really happened, because, as he said, it would get them off their backs. But those things are not happening. Those things are just out the window. It's just not going to be a factor. So what are we left with? We're left with having to piece this thing together. And you and I both know what's going on here with the Chinese communists. They figure if they make enough of a mess, we'll eventually lose interest. The American people are a lot of things, but let's be honest. Many, many, many Americans have a short attention span and will forget from one day to the next. And so what happens now? What happens now? We are sitting back here and we're looking at this picture and we're saying essentially, we just want to know the truth. And it feels like there isn't that imperative at our federal government's level to get to that truth. There should be a huge imperative there. It should be a massive imperative to try to find out what it is that occurred. Why, you ask? Well, it's simple. It's because we have spent now, what's the number? Somebody tell me the number. 5 trillion, 6 trillion, 7 trillion, 10 trillion that we have laid out. And we now know, I talked about this just a few hours ago, we now know what's going on, where you've got $400 billion, $400 billion in fraud as a part of the money that's been paid out. Much of that money going over to overseas interests who scammed us. I just look at this situation and I say, what is it about the current challenge we're facing that motivates people to continue to want to see the cover-up advanced? I, for the life of me, cannot tell you what it is. Could not tell you. I look at the current conditions and I say to myself, self, and I say it just like that. I say, self, what is it that we're supposed to make out of this? Because if this happens again, or when this happens again, will we accept the same degree of, well, I guess we screwed up, the lab just wasn't secure, or it just happened, or it was just a mistake? Again, think about how right I am, and I know I'm right with this. How many major, major foul-ups that have taken place that have cost us trillions of dollars over the last 35 years? Think of how many of them are just written off as, well, that's just how it is. That's just how it's going to be. These things are going to happen. The system failed. I don't want any more systemic failures. What would happen if we defended, or no, defending is exactly the wrong word. What would happen if we dismissed systemic racism as saying, well, the system just failed and there was just racism that emerged somehow and that's just what happened. Jim Acosta would be on your front lawn self-immolating. If you went on TV and said, well, they tell us it's systemic racism. Well, the system failed, I guess. I guess the system just failed and that's just kind of how it is. Golly gee. They would never accept that from you on that. But we're supposed to accept this on literal matters of economic and scientific life or death. Somebody help me out here. 704-570-1110.
One morning, you just walk in with a bag of everyone's faves from McDonald's, drop it on the counter, and say, breakfast is on me. Boom.
That's the power of saving money on the McDonald's app. Hope you can handle all that. Save money with the app. At participating McDonald's, must opt into rewards.
Brett Winterbull, News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. Brett Winterbull Show, our number 704-570-1110. Great to be here. All right, let me go back out on the phones, and I want to take this call from Eric. Eric is on too. Eric, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Brett. Thanks for having me. Great job on the EIB this week.
Thank you so much.
You were asking about China and the deal, and I think it's a three-part thing. First, we're being sold out by our elites to China. And where this has come from is we've become so dependent on them for manufacturing, for goods and everything over the years. And the difference between us and them is that we have a lot of publicly traded companies. We've spoken before. I supply the airlines. I actually work for a foreign company, but they constantly ask me, what's the deal? And I tell them, I said, the difference between here and a lot of other parts of the world is we have publicly traded companies, so they're beholden to quarterly dividends to pay.
That's right.
They've got to pay their investors back. So for us, we've been, pardon the phrase, but sucking off the teat of China for so long that we now don't have a backup supply chain, so we're dependent. And folks like Joe Biden and all the other folks have been receiving very nice dividends for years and years, and they're not going to give those up. So that's what I think is driving most of the issues as to why people don't want to take them down, or you know, are just kind of beholden to what they're doing to us.
You know, this is a major problem, because I mean, and I don't disagree with what you're saying. But the major problem in terms of this scope is it's like saying we're never really going to be able to get our hands on this to be able to change the reality of what it is that's going on. Right. You see what I'm saying? So yep. It's such a problem that it's so baked in that we just have to accept a certain amount of this. Of this as just sort of the cost of doing business. It's like an influence tax or a corruption tax or something like that.
Correct. Well, and I don't know if you know this or the listeners, but the reason China has an advantage on us, I don't know if you've ever heard of tax relief, but the way that this works is if you buy a finished iPhone, if we decide to import those, Apple does, from China, and it comes completely assembled, everything done, nothing to do.
Right.
What happens is China charges a 19% tax on all goods. If it's a finished good, once you send it out of the country, you get 18% relief. So imagine in a commodity or in a competitive market, if you get an 18% advantage because you buy a finished good from them versus you buy components, and then when it gets to the U.S., you finish with a few things, you've got an 18% disadvantage right off the bat. And in today's markets, you're not, that wipes you out. 3% wipes you out, but 18? So until we enact some type of tax laws or something similar to that to combat that, we're always 18% down. And then you add labor and the cheap raw materials and everything else over there, you're now 25 to 30% out, no matter how efficient and automated, depending on what you're doing and how.
Here's what's even worse about what you just said. It's actually even worse than you're making it out to be. And I'm not saying that in an accusatory way. What makes it worse is we're not just 18% down. We're 18% down out of our own dollars that have helped to build this system up.
Right.
I mean, we're doing it. It's a self-inflicted wound with a gun that's firing dollars back at us.
And I'll tell you, I have begged the company I work for to get out of China. Can we go to Vietnam, Korea? Can we go to South America? And it's all based on where raw materials are, based on what you're producing or what you're generating. But we can't get that. And then also people have to understand, in communist China, even though you may have a private business, money's going up, not just in the form of taxes, but you are also paying the CCP for the joy and the benefit of doing business there. So,
of course, it's a cover charge. You got to pay a cover charge and a VIG. I mean, this thing is like a corruption writ large. You're 100% correct, Eric. And that's the frustrating thing. That's why it's so hard. This is why we have to so carefully think about the deals we get into before we get into them, because there are long-term impacts off this. Oh, what is this called? Let me see here. Gary, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, I just was wanting to put in my two cents on that Fauci deal. I read something back in 2015 or 16 on a medical journal on the internet, and Bill Gates said that there would be, in 2020, there would be a pandemic that, like, no one's ever seen. So I feel like Bill Gates has got his hands in it, too. They just, I haven't heard nothing about it.
All right, well, I'll have to do a little research on that. I've not heard that Bill Gates, I mean, I've heard people say he's connected to this in some way. We have to be really careful, and I will try to run the sourcing of that down, but we have to be really careful not to go chase boogeymen, because if it escaped from the China lab, if the Chinese were negligent, purposely negligent, whatever it is you want to call it, behind this, if we want to go after Fauci or if we want to go after Bill Gates, and I'm fine with that if they're guilty, we can't let China slip that in that regard. Does that make sense? I think that makes sense. I think TJ's, you're right. I can see all the way from here on the special studio observer cam through the plexiglass and the miles. I can see TJ nodding his head at me on that one. Okay, you guys want to hear something really kind of crazy, kind of funny, interesting? So I'm going to play a clip for you. This is a weird clip. This is cut six. Let me set it up real quick. Cut six. Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, was tasked with giving an award to Robert De Niro for the way Robert De Niro's production company weathered through the storm of the pandemic, whatever. The reason why doesn't even matter. It doesn't even matter. Listen to the buildup from Andrew Cuomo and De Niro's response. This is really worth it, and you're going to see why at the end. Cut six.
And it is fitting that as Tribeca led us through 9/11, Tribeca has beckoned us through COVID. I want to present two awards, one to Jane Rosenthal and one to Robert De Niro, because the greatest journey starts with a single step, and to get through what we got through requires a combination of determination.
Okay, pause it right there. Can you advance it to about, I'm doing this on the air, can you advance it to about 20 seconds left in the clip? And then fire it.
Are the dynamic duo and an unbeatable team. Thank you very much. Congratulations. Congratulations.
And?
Thank you.
Okay, stop. He does a minute and a half windup. De Niro walks up on the stage and says, thank you. That's all that I can say. Okay? He says, thank you. That's all that I can say. De Niro looked like he was having to swallow Brillo pads. He's walking up there and he's going, this guy has been accused of like 30 people harassing and touching them and all this stuff. Oh my God, this is going to do it for me with feminists. I'm really done. So he walks up and he goes, thank you. It's all I can say. Then he walks away. Fitting. Andrew Cuomo, the first snub of the...
One morning, you just walk in with a bag of everyone's faves from McDonald's, drop it on the counter and say, breakfast is on me. Boom. That's the power of saving money on the McDonald's app. Hope you can handle all that. Save money with the app. At participating McDonald's, must opt into rewards.
Season. It is the Brett Winterbull Show, News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. Great to be here with you and looking at all the big stories that are out there. I gotta tell a story very quickly about my experience last night as I was coming into. I'm in New York City today. In case people didn't know, I'm in the city of New York and here at the EIB studios. And so I flew out late last night at like an 8:30 flight. Got into the city by about 11:15, 11:30, something like that. And I was really scared coming in. I lived in New York for a very long time. I lived in New York for years. And when I was working on the Rush Limbaugh show and doing other stuff. And so I lived in the Bronx. I lived in New Jersey. You know, I lived in a lot of different places around here. And as we were coming into the city last night from Kennedy, I was taking a cab And I'm coming in, and as you get close to the skyline's beautiful. I mean, it's everything's lit up. It's almost midnight. There's energy everywhere. There's stuff going on. And then you come into the city, and you come in here, and you start to say to yourself, okay, wait a minute. I am starving, and I got to get something to eat for dinner. I got to find something. And when I got in, I was like, forget it. I can't. I'm not going to go wandering the streets foraging for a slice of pizza that's been sitting there for a while. So I made an alternate plan. I had packed some emergency food. But here's the thing that I wanted to tell you about. As I got on the plane in Charlotte to fly here, I have flown during the pandemic. I flew during the early part of the pandemic because my family was still back in California, and I had to go out there and attend to things and see my family because we were moving as a group. I was here in Charlotte starting in early February of 2020, but my wife and kids didn't end up coming out here till the conclusion of essentially of the school year in the spring. And so I went back and forth. I had to go back and forth a couple of times, and I never had a problem flying back and forth on the planes. Put your mask on, sit in your seat, kind of socially distance, behave yourself, whatever it is. And everybody pretty much behaved themselves. It was fine. It was cool. You know, I did the COVID tests that I had to take or whatever it was going to be. But what I experienced last night on the plane was, I'm not going to name the carrier. I don't want to name the carrier, but it's a carrier that everybody knows. And we load on the plane for an 8:30 takeoff. I get my seat. The plane is jam packed. You couldn't fit anybody, anything else on this plane. And I took my seat, and I'm one of these guys who I like to sit at the window, and I basically kind of lean on the window and try to fall asleep. And that's what I do. Well, berating is not even the word for it. Berating is not the word for it. The flight crew must have told us how to wear our masks, and that we must wear our masks, and that failure to comply was going to result in a violation of law, which I don't think there's a law. I think it's an executive order. I don't think a law ever passed regarding masks on a plane, unless it was inside of a COVID bailout package. But I'm not going to be the quibble guy. As I said, I'm leaning against the window. I'm trying to be asleep because I know it's a 2-hour flight. We're up, we're down, boom, I'm here. But the flight attendants and the crew were like, this is a reminder. You have three chances when you are wearing a mask. It must cover your nose, not just your nostrils. It must cover your nose and go down to your chin. And we will tell you the first time that it has to be fixed. But then the second time, it's your last warning. And the third time, essentially, they're saying, we're putting this plane down. We're taking this plane to the deck, and you're going on the no-fly list, and you're going to pay a $10,000 fine. And then the editorializing begins. We don't like telling you that you have to do that, and we're sick of it as much as you are, and don't tell us you got a shot. And I'm thinking, what the heck? Even during the worst of the pandemic travel time, spring of 20, it was never like this. It's as if Joe Biden personally picked up the phone and gave the pep talk to the crew to say, you make sure you work these people over. They're in a red state area, and I think they voted for Trump. So really let them have it on the masks. Literally, it was probably mentioned in the course of 2 hours 17 times. And then before we took off, they walked up and down the aisle to inspect if your mask was properly on. It was incredible. I don't understand this cult of mask. I've come up with a new term for the people who are mask obsessed. And I'm serious. If you have a pre-existing medical condition, ignore what I'm about to say. You have to wear a mask. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the mask fundamentalists. You know, the fundamentalists that make you wear that you must wear the mask. I have a new term for them, ladies and gentlemen. I dub them the Maskiban. Instead of the Taliban, it's the Maskiban. That's really what it is. It's like you walk down the streets to see if the hem is too high on the skirt, if somebody is drinking alcohol, and if the mask is not appropriately affixed. It is unbelievable. And I'm telling you, sitting on a plane packed a packed 737 or whatever it was, and I'm looking at the other people who are on the plane, and we're all kind of looking at each other through our little eye slits going, is this for real? I mean, everybody in the terminal's wearing the mask. The minute you go to CLT, you got to have your mask on. The minute you get out of your car, put on your mask. Otherwise, someone's going to give you a look, or they're going to say something to you. Go through checkpoint. Got to have the mask. We all know the drill. We all know the drill. We've been at this 18 months, 18 glorious Wuhan months. But being on the plane and being jacked up like that repeatedly, and at points in flight, like mid-flight, we're coming by. Oh, here we're coming by with beverages. You are permitted to pull your mask down, take the sip, and then put the mask immediately back on as you swallow the sip. I'm a grown man. I'm a fully grown man. I do radio. I know what immaturity looks like. And I'm sitting there going, you got to be kidding. I'm looking for hidden cameras. I'm thinking we're getting Rickrolled. I'm thinking we're getting punked. I'm thinking we're getting impractical jokered. No, it was like a real thing all the way to New York. I was never so happy to be out on the lawless streets of New York City at midnight with danger lurking around every corner. And I don't mean Carlos Danger. I was never so happy to be free on the streets of New York City going into a hotel. Unbelievable. No insult intended to anybody who may be a part of the great masky band movement, but my gosh, it was excessive. 704-570-1110, News Talk 11.
One morning, you just walk in with a bag of everyone's faves from McDonald's, drop it on the counter, and say, breakfast is on me. Boom. That's the power of saving money on the McDonald's app. Hope you can handle all that. Save money with the app. At participating McDonald's, must opt into rewards.
News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. I'm Brett Witterbull. It's the Brett Witterbull Show, 704-570-1110. I want to take this call from Luke because he's right on, he's on what we were just talking about with the flight and with the masks and all that kind of stuff. Luke, welcome to the Brett Witterbull Show. What's on your mind, sir?
Brett, enjoyed your rush fill-in, and I'm enjoying this. Hey,
thank you, buddy.
I got a thing to say. I have 40 years experience in the airline industry as a pilot. I retired as a 777 captain. I've flown the 57, the 67. The newer airplanes, the 87s, and the newer 777s are even more high-tech than what I flew.
Wow.
But the one thing that's amazing about all this brouhaha about masks in the airline industry, I understand needing masks on the ground. There's very little airflow on the ground when you're taxiing around because you're not compressing a lot of air. Once the airplane's airborne, right after takeoff, for example, the airflow in the cabin is so excessive that we have to turn the temperature up to keep people comfortable because of the wind chill factor.
Sure.
And a lot of times the flight attendants complain about that because they're standing up and they're getting a little hotter because they're pushing carts around. But
right.
Nevertheless, the airflow goes from the overhead vents to the floor vents by your feet on the sidewalls.
Mm-hmm.
The airflow is so rapid that if you coughed or breathed out, you know, virus particles, say you were infected on the airplane, which only about 2% of people test positive in my county here in Lancaster.
Right.
But it immediately vectors down to the floor and into the vents. Now, 70% of the air goes off out of the airplane. The captain, if he chooses to flip the switch, can recycle 30% of the air, and that goes through a hospital quality or even better than hospital quality HEPA filter.
Mm-hmm.
So the chances of getting infected from somebody sitting next to you, unless he turns you face-to-face and coughs right in your mouth, is impossible. And so this whole idea about wearing masks in flight is a ridiculous waste of energy and time. And I'm sure that you don't like it. Most people don't. And it's unnecessary. And that's all I'm trying to say. The airflow, and, you know, the pilot has a switch. The reason they turn recycling air on, where they recycle 30% of the air, is to save fuel consumption. And so they can turn that off and burn a little more fuel. So what? People take your masks off, relax.
So are you, I'm going to assume, I'm going to presume, and maybe that's a mistake, but I'm going to presume that you're in touch with people who are still in that industry or, you know, are around that industry still?
Yes.
What's the sense, I'm not asking you to speak for anybody, but what is the sense as you talk to other people who are pilots or flight attendants, people that are in that business, are they annoyed by these mandates? I mean, I can see how it would be annoying to have to say it 500 times a week to people on planes, especially I know there's going to be wise guys that are not going to want to wear the mask or going to try to give everybody a hard time. But what are you hearing from people that are in that business?
Well, I'm hearing that, first of all, the flight attendants are scared. And I'm not saying all of them.
Sure.
But they're afraid, you know, because they're dealing with masses of people, you know, changing every, you know, three flights a day. So they meet in a wide-body airplane, they can meet 1,000 people in one day, you know.
That's a good point.
So they're a little bit upset by that. But I don't think the flight attendants really truly understand the airflow system. And, you know, they're not mechanics. They're just flight attendants, you know.
Sure.
And they're not pilots. And I don't understand why somebody doesn't approach the scientific. You know, let's use science and quit using emotion.
Sure.
It's science. The airflow is so rapid. Every three minutes, it's completely fresh air in the airplane. I mean, try that in your house. You couldn't afford to your house if you change the air every 3 minutes.
That's true.
I mean, think about it. But on an airplane, it happens. And the air that you're picking up is up at altitude, so there's no bacteria, you know, at 30,000 feet that you're pumping into the airplane, first of all. And the recycled air goes through a HEPA, high-quality HEPA filter that filters out any viral particles. And here's something I want to tell you, an interesting point. There was a virologist was on TV, a doctor. I wish I could remember his name. He said to get infected, you have to inhale 1,000 viral particles before you can get infected. He said that a person talking in a normal voice who's infected only emits 30 particles a minute. And this is face-to-face. They said you have to be standing face-to-face with somebody talking for about 20 to 30 minutes before you get enough particles inhaled in your lungs to get infected. And he said this whole business of everybody being paranoid about we all got some kind of a terrible disease that's going to be passed on to the next guy by the mere passing on the sidewalk. I mean, my community where I live, people wear masks outside. I was walking down the street without my mask, and they actually got off the sidewalk and got into the street and walked in the street to pass me on the sidewalk on a Sunday.
You got to be kidding me. See, this is the problem, though, right? Because it takes very little to change behavior in terms of conditioning people into doing it. And I think what has happened now, where we're living basically in this culture, is that people have been, we've been so programmed to wear the mask and to feel bad if you don't wear the mask that it becomes almost like a neurosis in and of itself.
It is. It's a neurotic fixation. And what's happened is what really scares me, Brett, and I'm a religious guy. I read a lot about the end days and all that stuff. I'm not going to preach or anything. But it scares me how easily people will conform when the government says you must do this.
It is interesting. It's not lost on me. It is interesting that we have these things that play out this way. Hey, Luke, I appreciate you being out there. My son's name is Luke, and so that's a great name. And appreciate you checking. And
I hope, Bible.
Absolutely. And I hope you.
Thank you for all you do, and you're a great guy. I was kind of hoping you'd fill in, take over Russia's show. This is the guy that should take over Russia's show. I mean, nobody believed me, of course.
You're too kind.
Nobody listens to me anymore. Now that you're a retired captain, you're just the old guy down the street that yells at you just stepping his grass. Except Sky King, now you're just the old grumpy guy down the street.
No, it's great, man. It's great. And listen, let me say this, and it sounds like it's going to be cliche, but it was an honor to be considered. And Luke, it was great to talk with you. Please call me again. I very much enjoyed our conversation. A lot to think about there. You know, there's a lot. He gave you a lot of science, which I think is super interesting. And if you want to weigh in on this, because we're about to enter into the heaviest of the travel season next to, you know, Thanksgiving, people are going to be going to the airports. And if perhaps you're a flight attendant, you want to take exception with what I said. I don't mean to insult anybody. I was merely trying to describe the experience that I saw. And I'm not saying that I know what I'm talking about, but it was really quite different from my past experiences. I'm Brett Winterbull, News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT, Anna Eric.
One morning, you just walk in with a bag of everyone's faves from McDonald's, drop it on the counter, and say, breakfast is on me. Boom! That's the power of saving money on the McDonald's app. Hope you can handle all that. Save money with the app. At participating McDonald's, must opt into rewards.
And News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT, Brett Winterbull Show. 704-570-1110 is our phone number to continue this conversation. I want to add a couple of dimensions to some of the stuff we're talking about here on the show. I was talking about air travel and masks and that sort of stuff. Well, one of the other things that's a part of the COVID conversation, no doubt, is the conversation regarding pandemic money. How about pandemic money? According to the numbers that are now out, and I mentioned this earlier, but this is absolutely incredible. Unemployment fraud during the pandemic could easily reach $400 billion in stolen federal dollars as a part of unemployment claims that were fraudulent. As many as half of the unemployment benefits paid by the U.S. government over the past year may have been stolen through fraud. The bulk of the money ended up outside the country in the hands of foreign crime syndicates in China, Nigeria, Russia, and elsewhere. This is according to Axios's Felix Salmon. $400 billion. According to Blake Hall, the CEO of ID.me, which is a fraud prevention service, America has lost over $400 billion to fraudulent claims, with as much as 50% of all unemployment payments possibly being stolen. Of that, 70% of the money stolen by imposters ultimately left the country. How did it work? This is where it gets scary. Scammers steal personal information and use it to impersonate claimants. Other groups trick individuals into voluntarily handing over their personal information. Mules, low-level criminals, are given debit cards and asked to withdraw money from ATMs. That money then gets transferred abroad. The big picture? Well, before the pandemic, unemployment claims were relatively rare and generally lasted for such short amounts of time that international criminal syndicates didn't view them as a lucrative target. Enter the COVID money. $400 billion. Think about that. And then think about the fact that the president wants to spend $6 trillion. You got to be kidding me. How much of that's going to end up over in China? More than 10%. David is up next. David, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Brett, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I hear you.
I love you, Brett. Thanks for being on this show. Just give you a little background. I'm a liberal guy from Charlotte, and I play in a band, and I get tons of blowback for the things I believe in and the things I say.
Sure.
So I just want you to know I'm right there with you when it comes to cancel culture and everything like that. Okay, so during the George Floyd protest, all the riots during that week when it happened, I'm a truther guy. I was looking at every news station to get both sides and everything. I don't think I ever thought about COVID or even saw like a bulletin or a segment on the effects of COVID-19, the dangers of it. I saw no death counter on CNN.
Uh-huh.
So I'm not a conspiracy theory guy. I'm like I keep that arm's length. I'm more of like a that's obviously bad kind of guy.
Yeah, sure.
And if they're saying that COVID was super dangerous during that time,
mm-hmm.
Why would the governors let all these people, rightfully protest, right? But they're also rioting and destroying things and hurting people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Why would they let them gather and just touch each other, talk, share megaphones, spit on each other, do all this stuff, and then not say anything about it? And then, later, they accuse every Trump-affiliated or any conservative affiliate event of a death spreader.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. But hold on. Honestly, I'm being totally straight with you. Talk radio. We talked about this a ton. We talked about it a lot. Now, CNN, MSNBC, CBS, ABC, all those channels, they didn't talk about it. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, I think they took the death count down during the real peak of the rioting in June. Okay.
Wow.
And
wow.
You didn't see it. It was not emphasized. But conservatives were saying, wait a minute, you've got all these lockdown orders. Why are you guys doing this? And in fact, there was a medical professional, I want to say from Columbia University here in New York, who said, don't worry about the impacts of people gathering in mass groups like this during riots, because racism is a threat to health. Racism is a threat to people's public health. It's a public health threat. And so what they were saying was, yeah, some people may get COVID, but the deal is we have to battle racism because that's a public health emergency. Now, here's the other thing, though, you got to keep in mind. And let's like be totally honest about this.
Yeah.
How old a guy are you?
I'm 37.
Okay, so you're 37. That's perfect. You're right in the age about where we're talking about. You didn't know a lot of 37-year-olds that were probably catching COVID and getting sick and dying, right? I mean, somebody might have caught it. They may have had it. But we know, by and large, the people that were dying were at the upper end of the spectrum of older people or people with compromised systems.
Older people, yeah.
Right? Okay. So what they were basically saying without saying it was, these are like 17 through 32-year-olds that are out there rioting and carrying. These are kids that are rioting and carrying on. So they're probably not going to get it. And if they get it, it's going to be the sniffles and they'll get over. I think that was a big factor that they didn't want to say because they didn't want to let every other person use that as a justification to get out there because people weren't wearing masks. People weren't social distance. Dude, they were smashing windows with, you know, skateboards and stealing stuff.
And we even saw Roy Cooper.
Yes.
Mask off and join the, you know, the protest.
Correct. You did.
And like, if we're supposed to follow science, you know, that's just so misleading.
It is.
You're right. I meant to pose my question as in, why didn't the liberal legacy establishment media?
Yeah, yeah. Well, because they will never say bad things about the people that are most important.
Can I just ask one more thing? China.
Yes, sir.
I may be wrong. I don't think I've ever heard China say anything about social justice as in America?
So, they have. In fact, I had Gordon Chang on my show, and Gordon Chang told the story of the Houston consulate supporting the George Floyd riots.
That's what I was going to say.
With money and with support. They said to Tony Blinken, who's our Secretary of State, when they had their meeting in Alaska, right when Biden got elected.
Exactly what I was going to bring up.
They said, you can't lecture us because you guys are racist.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying, dude. Like, they're using...
I know.
I don't want to say anything because I know it's really, you know what I'm saying.
Of course,
yeah.
But look, this is the reality, man. This is the reality. It's hypocrisy, right? If we spent our entire day walking around and pointing out the hypocrisy, we'd go crazy. We would never progress. We would never, you know, advance in our lives. There's just so much hypocrisy out there, David. And that's the frustrating reality. Hey, man, it's a great call. I'm so happy you called me, man. And please call me back again, okay?
One morning, you just walk in with a bag of everyone's faves from McDonald's, drop it on the counter, and say, breakfast is on me. Boom. That's the power of saving money on the McDonald's app. Hope you can handle all that. Save money with the app. At participating McDonald's, must opt into rewards.
No problem. I love you, man.
You too, buddy. All right, that's David. David loves the show. That is a great sign. News Talk, 1110 and 99.3 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. 704-570-1110. I want to go back on the phones and check in this is Peter checking in with us. And he wants to weigh in on the airline mask mandate. Hey, Peter, how are you? Welcome to the program.
Mr. Brett, thanks for having me.
Thank you for being there.
We just got back from, I dropped off my wife and kid at Charlotte International Airport. And at the bottom, walked in, there's a couple of women working for TSA or one of the airlines, all of them frolicking around without masks. But we, as the people walking there, if you don't have a mask on, you've got somebody there with a rod and a staff, and it's like, hey, put on your mask. Like, come on, guys, practice what you preach. How does that work? That's not true.
Yeah. It's, look, I think the problem with this, and I think maybe, correct me if I'm wrong on this one, okay? But I'm just talking about perception here. I think most people, when we heard the CDC guidelines change, where they said you don't have to wear it, go in stores. We've all been going in stores. We've all been going in different locations without masks, sporting events, big gatherings. It just feels weird that this one place out of all of the geography, I mean, I understand going in if you got to do it at a hospital because people may be sick.
Yeah.
But an airport. So I don't know. Do you have to wear it at the Greyhound bus station, too? I haven't gotten a ruling on that one yet. It's very strange,
yeah.
Peter. It feels like a two-tiered system.
I hear you. And Mr. Bray, just one more thing.
Yes, sir.
We are not citizens of this country. We've mm-hmm. got a son that was born here. He's full-on American citizen.
Yes.
My wife is traveling with a packet of documents. It's probably about 2 to 3 inches thick. With all our documentation, I had to give permission, consent for my son to travel to and from South Africa. Mm-hmm. And the communist regime that's currently in the White House is just letting everybody come in. It's a free-for-all. Come on, dog. What's happening?
I understand what you're saying, Peter, because it is a worse. I don't know what would be worse than a double standard, but it's that. You know, it is just incredible when you look at this, because we've been watching the news. I'm sure you have too.
You're somebody
who's emigrated here, or you've come into the United States in illegal fashion. I'm assuming you didn't swim across a river, is what I'm assuming.
Well, I tried to swim, but it was a little bit too far.
But I mean, we're looking down with the border in Mexico, and guys are just coming across, and it's like, boom, hey, welcome aboard. Let us know what we can do for you. And you know, it's frustrating. You got to fill out all that paperwork. You got to prove who you are, what you're doing, what your purpose is, and they can revoke it at a moment's notice. Just make sure you keep your politics under wraps, you know, because they're looking for any excuse to get rid of the conservatives.
Can I tell you just one last thing?
Please.
I've deleted my Facebook account, but I had a Facebook account and I followed yourself, Dan Bangino, a lot of conservative people.
Yes,
I was informed by a friend's lawyer to take down all that stuff that I follow, because if we want to get our green card, yeah, that is going to count against us.
Wow. Now,
that's an immigrations lawyer that advised me to unfollow the groups.
Well, okay. So here's the thing I'd say about that. They may be, and this is up to interpretation, obviously, depending on the administration in Washington. They may look at it and say that it's, hey, it looks like you're supporting the insurrection, or you look like you're supporting this or that. They may be looking to, looking to surveil people that way. So it's a shame that that's the case, but it's...
Come on, but we all know that's BS, because...
Believe me, I do.
That I was informed to take down all those pages. That was before January 6th.
Let me ask you a question. Are you still following stuff back in the old country?
I am. Yes, okay. I am. We've got entire families up there.
So you got what? Ramaphosa is your president. Is the president there, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Now he came in on a certain kind of a platform. How is he managing the state of affairs in South Africa?
You really want to know? They lost. Now the IRS, our South African Revenue Service, SARS.
Yes, yes.
They lost almost $500 million that was donated to them for COVID relief that was supposed to go to the people. They lost it. Nobody can pick it up. But if you do not put down 10 cents or 20 cents, they will phone you and be like, hey,
yeah,
you didn't pay that much amount of your taxes.
Yeah.
But they lost $500 million.
Yeah. Government's the same everywhere, man. It's the same everywhere.
Right?
Peter, a pleasure to speak with you. Please keep in touch. Safe travels for your family. And please don't be a stranger, my friend.
All the best, Mr. Brett. Thanks for everything.
Take care. Absolutely. That's Peter checking in. I mean, it's very interesting, because you've got government. We have this default setting in our minds where we think, well, yeah, if it's the government, I'm not saying it's everybody, but I'm saying you think, well, okay, well, the government's got to probably have an idea of what's going on. Government is government. I mean, it's just another layer of bureaucracy. It's papers you got to fill out, and you got to hope the paper goes in the right file and that the file is kept in the right box and doesn't land on the wrong bureaucrat's desk who doesn't like something that you got in your file. And that's really what it comes down to. You know, government is really nothing but an impediment to your freedoms. I'm not saying I want to scrap government. I wouldn't want to live in an anarchistic, type situation. I understand government is a necessary evil, but these folks that have all this faith in government, you understand that AOC, Ilhan Omar, and Matt Gaetz, and a whole host of other characters that either side doesn't like, they're all in the government. They're all government people. And they don't have all the answers. I'm just saying. I wanted to be bipartisan in terms of pointing out people that either side might not like. Government doesn't have all the answers. The individual, 9 times out of 10, has much better answers. We got another great hour straight ahead.
One morning, you just walk in with a bag of everyone's faves from McDonald's, drop it on the counter, and say, breakfast is on me. Boom. That's the power of saving money on the McDonald's app. Hope you can handle all that. Save money with the app. At participating McDonald's, must opt into rewards.
Hour number three. What am I saying? It's flying, ladies and gentlemen. Hour number three of the Brett Winterbull Show on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. Wonderful to be here with you. 704-570-1110 is the number for us to catch up and to talk about all the big stories that are out there. Later this hour, we'll be joined by our good friend Bo Thompson. Get a sense of what it is he's looking at out there. We'll ask him some questions about the news of the day. We'll check in with Mark Garrison for Charlotte at 6. But we begin with this. President Biden spoke yesterday to the American troops there in England. I opened the show talking about the promise that the president made to donate 500 million doses of coronavirus vaccine to nations around the world, 500 million doses. And we previewed that yesterday, and he made that come to fruition today. And that's wonderful. We talked all about that. But now, I want to go back to what it was he was talking about yesterday when he was talking about the G7 and, of course, Russia. It's important because there's a couple of things here we have to unpack. I'm going to start with cut number 7. This is President Biden sort of standing by that old saw we hear from him all the time. America's back. Cut 7, go.
At every point along the way, we're going to make it clear that the United States is back and democracies of the world are standing together to tackle the toughest challenges and the issues that matter most to our future. That we're committed to leading with strength, defending our values, and delivering for our people.
I think it's important to think about what he means by America is back. America is back. If I walk into a room and I say to you, hey, I'm back, or I come into the room after something bad happened to me and I say, hey, I'm back, that has a very specific meaning. It means that I've either suffered some kind of an injury or I have been missing. That's really the only two possible things it could mean. Hey, I'm back. Or, hey, I'm back. What does Joe Biden mean by America is back? Because it's a phrase he uses. I'm partially inclined. There's a term that gets used, and it's not meant as a pejorative, okay? Don't worry, TJ. It's nothing like it's going to get us in trouble. But there's a term in communication that is called an autistic mannerism. It has nothing to do with autism per se. It's just known as an autistic mannerism is what they call it. It's an old-fashioned phrase. I don't know if they've updated it. Here's an example of one. You ready? You know? Hey, you know, like, I want to try to get that cheeseburger, you know, because that cheeseburger is really delicious, you know. People who insert, you know, kind of, it's like just going in there. It's just showing up. And, you know, and like, you like, you know, I'm just trying to, you know. That's one of those mannerisms. I think that Joe Biden's got a couple of those. I think the first one is not a joke. He says not a joke a lot. Not a joke. Not a joke. And I think the second one is a little bit more cognitively directed and purposeful. And that's the use of the phrase America's back. America did not go anywhere in the last 4 years. America's been back the entire time. In fact, America was so back, we killed Soleimani. Biden opposed it. We killed al-Baghdadi. Biden was a little bit plussed by it because it kind of stood up Barack Obama with the killing of Osama bin Laden. We took a strong stand against the Iranians. We took a strong stand against the Chinese. We took a strong stand against the Russians. Remember, it was Donald Trump who ordered the hit on about 400 mercenaries, killing them in Syria with the missile strike. We didn't go anywhere. We asserted ourselves. We asserted ourselves, and I know that that doesn't work with many people like Jake Tapper, let's say, or Wolf Blitzer, or Anderson Cooper, or Donnie Lemon, or Chrissy Cuomo. They don't like any of that at all. That's no good at all. We don't like America being strong and assertive. That makes us Nazis. And it's the next argument that they're going to make after that every chance they can. So America didn't go anywhere. We've been here the entire time. Now, if you're trying to say America is back to the same old America that you experienced for 8 long years under Obama Biden, well, then maybe that's the case. America kind of in retreat, America kind of in decline, America with the weeds growing up in front of the house and the yard's not getting mowed, and the roof is starting to leak and nobody's really caring about it because the guy who first bought that house was really rich and that house deserves to fall apart because a rich guy had it. You know, that kind of thing. I guess that could mean what it means by back. But here's the thing that I like about Joe Biden. He comes out and he says, we're not going to seek a conflict with Putin. We're going to go meet with Putin. We're not going to seek a conflict with Putin. Here's what he says about Vladimir Putin. Cut number 8.
And only after these meetings with our closest democratic partners to develop a common agenda and renewed purpose, I'll travel to Geneva to sit down with the man I've spent time with before, President Vladimir Putin. We're not seeking conflict with Russia. We want a stable, predictable relationship. Our two nations share incredible responsibilities, and among them, ensuring strategic stability and upholding arms control agreements.
He favors a predictable, stable relationship with Vladimir Putin. Vladimir Putin's going to sit across from Joe Biden, and he's going to know some things. He's going to know everything that Hunter Biden did in terms of his deals. Vladimir Putin is going to sit there and know that Joe Biden didn't blame him for the Colonial Pipeline, which was a beta male move. He's going to look at Joe Biden and know that Joe Biden agreed to the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, which is going to make Joe Biden a beta male in the eyes of Vladimir Putin. And Vladimir Putin's going to say, okay, this guy last week said the greatest threat facing the United States is white supremacy. He's the president of a racist country, in his own words. What kind of a president says that about his own country? And then he's going to say, this guy just said 48 hours ago or 72 hours ago or 96 hours ago that the greatest threat facing the United States military is global warming. Yeah, I'm going to take that. That's what Vladimir Putin's going to say. He's also going to look at Joe Biden and he's going to think, this guy called me a soulless killer. This guy blamed me for putting Donald Trump in office, claiming I stole the election for Donald Trump. Lay all those things on the table. America's racist. The president of the United States says America's a systemically racist country. That white supremacy is the number one problem in America. The other number one problem in America facing the military is climate change. Vladimir Putin used to be a KGB guy. He knows how to model people that he's dealing with and knows how to manipulate people with the best of them. Do you know what Vladimir Putin's going to conclude looking at Joe Biden? That he can be pushed depending on who it is that's administering the pressure point. Depending on what group he's in front of, he will pivot in favor of that group, which means Vladimir Putin simply has to talk to Joe Biden about what a great president Joe Biden is, how he's so hopeful about the future, and Joe Biden's going to buy the line of malarkey, to use Joe's word. You got to be kidding me. This is a gift. He's going to stand strong with the Russians. The Russians have got to be backslapping and knocking back the vodka today.
You're out here hustling, but you're also using the McDonald's app to have your favorites delivered to your door. That's hustling smarter. Order McDelivery in the McDonald's app at participating McDonald's.
News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. We cross the streams, reaching out across the aisle to Mr. Bo Thompson from the Bo Thompson Morning Show. Good to have you back on, Bo Thompson. How are you?
Hey, man. Happy Friday Eve.
Woohoo, woohoo. It's good to be here. How are you? You good?
Good.
All right. All right, let's dive right into this. There's some interesting stuff going on out here. You know, I saw I saw some of the stories that are out there moving regarding the coronavirus and the way we're kind of processing through it. In fact, earlier this morning, I saw a piece over at Breitbart that said There was a school in New Hampshire that held a prom, and the unvaccinated kids had to have three-digit numbers written on their skin, and they had to be monitored throughout the prom. If they changed dance partners, every three songs they had to put their hands up in the air so that they could be contact traced by underclassmen. I'm not kidding. That was one of the things that we're seeing. Now we see Rhodes College likely to charge unvaccinated students $1,500 per semester. Is this a tax on choice? Is this a choice tax that we're seeing?
Well, essentially, they're saying that if you are unvaccinated, then you have to pay a fee that will go towards testing those people who are unvaccinated. In other words, you can go to school there unvaccinated, but you've got to pay into the fee that's going to allow them to administer the testing and the protocols to people who choose not to be. But I'm even pointing back to this is like the star-bellied sneeches versus the ones
yes.
that didn't have them. This is like Dr. Seuss. You're talking about having numbers written on your hand. And then I remember back in high school, if you weren't a senior, then I think sophomores and juniors were what they called sophomore and junior marshals. You know, you had to
right.
go and be the guide to where you sat down for graduation. And boy, this has taken that to a whole new level. If you have to actually go and be a partner monitor.
wait, here's the setup. I'm telling you the truth, 100%. Report: unvaccinated students numbered with Sharpie and tracked at high school prom. This was in Exeter, New Hampshire, high school prom. Unvaccinated students were numbered with a Sharpie pen and tracked throughout the evening. They were contact tracing them, essentially. If they were on the dance floor, they had to raise their hands after every three songs so their numbers could be recorded by other underclass students for contact tracing purposes. All right? Here's where it gets even worse, though. You ready for this? They also left the list of student names first and last with the info on whether they were vaccinated or not discarded on a table outside after the prom. It was found the next morning by somebody. It wasn't shredded. It wasn't gotten rid of. It was just laying out there with all that information.
Which is to say, it was probably screenshotted by somebody, and now it's all over the internet.
100%. We're getting out of control here, Bo Thompson. I think so.
I mean, I thought I was giving you this big scoop and this extreme situation.
Well, no, I think they're
bands with different colors the other day, and
they're beautifully.
What you're telling me here is that's a whole new level.
They're beautifully married as an issue, right? I mean, it's one of these things. It's like you see where we're headed. You're old enough to remember the Cold War,
right?
What's wrong with neighbors informing on each other?
I see where you're going here.
I mean, what's wrong with that? It keeps the community safe. If you know whether or not you've got a troublemaker living next door, it helps you know, right?
Well, and then you have Joe Biden today.
Yes.
Part of his overseas visit, I saw that he addressed the troops and he had a mask on.
Yeah.
But what I don't understand is that he apparently greeted troops before he took the stage by shaking their hands.
Yes, he did.
And if you can shake somebody, I mean, we've talked about this. The handshaking thing, for me, and I've talked to a lot of people, I mean, we're all getting back to the social norms or some semblance of them that we used to take for granted before the pandemic. But I mean, shaking hands was a big threshold for me. I mean, the first person I shook hands with, I went, wow, I just broke the seal. And now shaking hands and even hugging is a thing again. But if you can shake hands, then why do you need to turn around and wear a mask? I mean, vaccinated or unvaccinated, but if you're comfortable shaking somebody's hand, then I don't think you need a mask. I'm just putting two and two together.
No, you're right. I mean, so what it tells us is if he's shaking hands in the back room, then he's got a mask on when he comes out. It means it literally is all for show.
Apparently, yes. Yeah.
Okay. Tell me about this story with Bob Geldof. I got a bad feeling about it. What's going on?
Well, I'm just learning about this. Live Aid. I was talking a couple of days ago on my show about the fact that Clive Davis is thinking about putting together a huge, central park concert in
yes.
August, which essentially, you know, goes into this whole thing of reopening America, and this is going to be the biggest one ever, and he's pulling out all the stops with all the people that are, you know, on his payroll and people that he's connected to, which is, you know, a who's who if he could get them all together,
right?
Old and new voices. But now today, apparently, he's not the only one that's going to be, if this holds up, Live Aid. They've re-trademarked the name, and I think they filed again for the website domain. But Bob Geldof is, if this is true, now this is out of the Daily Star, but I mean, it would make sense because everybody, it's, you know, we keep talking about, is this like the Roaring Twenties where everybody just goes nuts this summer with vacations and celebrations? You could see it happening. I mean, who can put on the biggest concert for the biggest crowd of people? I could see
Bo, you can't do this. The talent isn't there like it was in 85. The talent was so much better in 85 than today. It's going to be the same people we see on the Grammys every year. It's,
No, I'm not. I completely agree with you.
I'm not saying you're signing off on it. Yeah.
They're going to try to
yeah.
It's like, you know, We Are the World when they tried it the second time around. It was,
it's no good.
You don't get Bruce Springsteen and Michael Jackson and Diana Ross and all them. I mean, that'll never happen again.
That's right. You can't have Live Aid without Dead or Alive. Actually, I don't even think they were there.
Well, look, I'm not saying I'm looking forward to this. I'm just saying, given what you see with people trying to be I do believe that by the time we get to the end of this year, it's going to resemble the 80s in at least in the form of excess. I think excess
is going to manifest
over the next several months, to the largest degree since that decade we call excess.
All right, Bo Thompson, quick name who's on the show with you tomorrow, please.
I have Matt Grant from Fox 46. He's one of their investigative reporters who's been here for about 6 years, done some really great work while he's been there, and he is leaving. He's going to Dallas, and tomorrow's his last day.
Wow.
And a good kind of snapshot of someone who's lived in Charlotte for the last 5 or 6 years, was new when he came, now he leaves and goes somewhere else. What does he look back on, and what does he think about being a Charlottean for a few years?
Great stuff. Have a great weekend, man. I appreciate you coming by, and I look forward to catching up with you on Monday because I am off mañana.
Hey, well earned. Have a great weekend.
One morning, you just walk in with a bag of everyone's faves from McDonald's, drop it on the counter, and say, breakfast is on me. Boom. That's the power of saving money on the McDonald's app. Hope you can handle all that. Save money with the app. At participating McDonald's, must opt into rewards.
Thanks, buddy. Continuing the conversation on News Talk 1110-993 WBT, Brett Witterbull. Let's check in with some of the great calls that are out there. It's been a little bit since we went out there and talked to him. Let me start with Sam. Hello, Sam. Welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Hi, Brett. How are you doing today?
I'm well. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I have a question. You asked a question a while ago. You were like, understand all the reasons that went into why we might be getting a lie about how COVID started.
Yes.
And what I wanted to do is, if you're ever stumped about a problem, is you follow the money.
Mm-hmm.
And China has 1/4 of the world's population, and those people have to work for whatever the government tells them to work for.
Correct.
Including the Uyghurs. So if you're in America and you're manufacturing products, but you're manufacturing at market wages over here, what would you want to do? You would want to get the cheap labor. But what you don't want is you don't want that cheap labor reflected back in the cost when you resell the products. So what do? You make it so that tariffs are unequal on both sides. Mm-hmm. You have trade deals that are favorable to one side over the other. And part of doing that requires that you have unequal taxes on both sides. And so what happens is you increase the flow of labor used to manufacture those goods and services. They're over there. And then you sell them back over here. And the next thing you do is you create dealer networks. So the big corporations create these dealer networks. And so then they get to sell the products back over here at the increased prices, but that labor reduction cost isn't reflected in how they do it. And then those corporations basically are so big over here that they fund it. They fund everything over here, including media, including government, and everything else. And eventually the goal is to fix it so that the cheaper labor is available here as well.
Well, I mean,
COVID was created because Donald Trump solved all these problems. He lowered tariffs. He changed the tariffs. He did the new trade deals. He lowered taxes. So COVID was created to hurt those economies where those things were being done so that this payoff to all these people could continue.
Okay. That's a big gamble That's a big gamble. I understand if it was just the United States that got hit with COVID. But if the world gets hit with it, and I get that China's going to try to seek advantage, but there were a lot of other ways they could have tried to take out President Trump before getting to this stage of the game, I think. I mean, I could be wrong. I don't know. But
Well, see, you got to remember at the same time, Brexit happened. There was people in market-based countries were moving towards this populism at the time. So what this was done to is affect those economies. And if you will look, all countries weren't affected equal by COVID.
No, I get that. But the Europeans were actually hit the hardest.
Yeah, they were.
So, I mean, they weren't in any kind of a beef with the Chinese. I mean, but they took it the worst. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm trying to figure out what the rationale for that would be to deploy something that would actually, I mean, relatively speaking, the United States numbers are low relative to population in the EU.
But our politicians over here helped him out a lot, though. They actually ruined the economy more than it really needed to be.
Well, okay, state politicians yes. Mostly, because the feds really couldn't do much, but the states could. All right, I mean, this is the whole purpose of why we're trying to look at this stuff, because we don't know how this emerged and where it emerged. I mean, I think we do know, but we don't have the proof
yet. Well,
and that's
one of the things too is you got to know that there are people. We had to have people in our government. It's looking like now the evidence suggests that our own tax dollars.
Yeah.
Were used to fund this, and if you were involved in some of that, you would also want to cover that up as well.
Well, okay, I get Sam. All right, yeah, I'll take it under consideration. I mean, I will. Let me, Jim, welcome to the show. What's going on?
Yes, I'm back.
Oh my God, he's on speaker. Hold on a second. Hold on, I got to think about this. He's on a speaker. He's across the room. He's got like a putty knife in his hand. Let's try it again. Jim, welcome to the show. Oh, I can't do it, man. I'm sorry. I can't. I can't do it. I can't. No, it wasn't that he killed the show. It's that the show, I can't. Here, let me give you the equivalent. Are you ready, TJ? I'm going to just do a quick radio experiment. Hold on. Ready? Hey, it's really great to be here on the air today. I'm killing the show. The show is dead. Ay, ay, ay. Look, TJ and Josh are big fans of speakerphones. No, they're not. Nobody is in radio. In radio, it's really a difficult thing to do on a speaker. I can't do that. I mean, whew. Show died. Let me,
One morning, you just walk in with a bag of everyone's faves from McDonald's, drop it on the counter, and say, breakfast is on me. Boom. That's the power of saving money on the McDonald's app. Hope you can handle all that. Save money with the app. At participating McDonald's, must opt into rewards.
News Talk 1110 993 WBT. That music means only one thing.
That it's almost time for you to go to dinner there in New York and run up the expense account.
The expensive account. I don't have an expense account. Oh, it's my friend Mark Garrison, my favorite time of the entire night. Good to have you here, my friend.
Good to hear you from the Big Apple. So you got to be going out to a big dinner tonight. Come on.
I'm going to be doing some stuff tonight. Yeah, I'm stuff for tomorrow.
Some so. Stuff. Right.
No, it's actually, I'm transiting from this point to the point where I got to be for tomorrow. So,
okay.
Yes, yeah, so there will be, I will eat something for dinner.
Little lobster, little steak.
No, sure.
Caviar.
Why not?
Yeah, there you go.
Let's go nuts. What's going on?
Well, what does Roy Cooper have in common with Regis Philbin?
Let's play Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Here we go.
Cooper announcing today that four people, yes, four, will win $1 million just for taking the COVID shot.
I thought perhaps he was going to date Joy. I know. Okay, good to know.
So we got the pandemic payoff coming here to North Carolina.
Will you play the pandemic lottery game there? Is that something that appeals to you?
No, me neither. It's there are a lot of people in Ohio who decided to go ahead and vax up for a shot at $1 million. So we'll see if it happens here.
I did like the guy who said my wife didn't sign up, so the money's right. Really mine.
So it's like my $1 million. Yeah, I like that guy. State Senate passed a bill to restrict some abortions. For example, if a child may have Down syndrome. Question is, will will Cooper veto it? You know, there are some Democrats who voted for this, so if Cooper does veto it, there's a shot at an override. We'll talk about that.
Oh, we'll see how that goes in, yeah.
All right, so question, have you cut your own hair during the pandemic?
I trimmed here and there, but I didn't. I'm in no way, shape, or form able to cut my own hair.
Well, a lot of people have, and they really have screwed it up. Barbers now, we're going to talk to some at 623. This is a great story. They're doing a big business now just trying to straighten out the mess that people have made at home with their hair.
Yeah, because you got to grow it out before you can like get rid of the chip chop, right?
Well, I mean, yeah, either that or just shave your head.
Oh, gosh, and it's summer. You're going to get burned head. That's no good.
And Dirty Restaurant Thursday at 635. We got one restaurant that had a dirty slicer, and the guy in charge said, well, we don't know how to clean it.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. No, that's, you know, that sounds like the nickname of an arch criminal, the Dirty Slicer. Bring me the Dirty Slicer. He'll get the answer out of him. Wow, the Dirty Slicer. All right.
So were you nervous working there in the Big Rush studio today?
No, not really. No? It was kind of emotional coming in because it was the last, you know, it's the last one I'm doing. The team here is incredible and the facility's magnificent. Yeah. But it was a good run. It was fun today. It was mostly fun. I forgot what New York City traffic is like in the middle of the night when you're trying to sleep and horns are honking and police sirens. So
stay out of the subways.
Oh, I'm not going in. I'm not even walking past the entries to the subways. Forget that. That's not happening. But it has been sort of an interesting adventure here. But
well, you sounded good today.
Well, thank you, Mark. I appreciate that. And I will see you on Monday. Then.
All right.
Back on Monday.
Yeah.
All right. That's Mark Garrison, Charlotte at 6. That is mandatory listening. That is an appointment, and you must keep it. You know, when I lived here and I was a single guy, I worked with a person. And he was a guy in my office. This is before I joined the Rush team. And he came into work one day, and TJ, he was kind of like gripping himself. Like, think of somebody who would do the Pledge of Allegiance and put your hand where your hand would be for the Pledge of Allegiance. And he was walking around in the office, and he kept keeping his hand like that, okay? His right hand was over, like, his heart where you would do the Pledge of Allegiance.
Alarming.
Okay. Well, no, but he wasn't having a heart attack. It's just he was clearly in great discomfort. And I finally said to the kid, I was probably 25, he was probably like 22. And I said, what happened? I go, what did you do? Did you get hurt? And he said, yes. He said he was on his way out the door. He had ironed his shirt, ironed his pants, and he was on his way out the door. And he realized that there was a wrinkle where his hand was on his shirt, right, where he had his hand. And he said, I grabbed the iron, which was still hot, and I just wanted to press it out real quick. And he zapped himself with the tip of that iron, right, the pointy tip of the iron. And he showed it to me, and it looked like a permanently affixed, burned Star Trek logo on his flesh. It's what it looked like. And he kept touching it because it was hurting. And I'm going, on what planet do you think you can iron yourself and it doesn't hurt?
Oh, wow.
Like, you can't just say, oh, I'm just going to touch it up right here. I mean, what are you... That is hard. Don't you feel... Okay, if you've got a layer of shirt, even if you've got a T-shirt underneath it, even if you've got a tank top underneath, you're going to feel the heat of the iron approaching your skin.
And, well, that's how you know when to stop, when it starts sizzling.
And let's be honest for just a quick second. That's like that's not like thick skin like your hands or your feet. That's like your upper pec. Oh. That's not really like that's some cooking skin is what that is, man. It's gonna get cooked. But it was I was thinking about that as I was walking here because I see all these young people moving around. There's a lot of people coming and going, and you know stuff is happening. There's people who are in town for vacation, but you can see people who are going to work, and they all look like they are emerging from the from the shelters. Not the homeless shelters, but the shelters after World War II, after the Germans have stopped bombing London, and everybody's kind of trying to go about their business and go here and go there and do their thing, and it's something to see. And then you do have a bunch of zombies walking around. I mean, I don't know how else to be, but there's other zombies that are walking around. These are people who you just look at them and you go, wow, like this is incredible. And it's all De Blasio's done it all. De Blasio has taken what was a glittering jewel and made it just as awful and unpalatable as he could. But the city somehow wants to fight back in a way, which I think is good because as much as I complain about things, I'm a big believer in cities. I think cities are important. Charlotte's a hugely important city. Charlotte's incredibly vibrant. There's so much going on there. And I just, you know, I love going into Charlotte. I love being around cities. I've always been an urban guy. It's because I grew up out in far west Texas. And, you know, the city for us was, you know, buildings downtown and then Juarez. But I love big cities. I think big cities are exciting and interesting. And there's always something going on. You just don't want it going on when you're near it. Like, you're like, hey, what's going on over there? Oh, I don't want to be anywhere near what's going on over there. That's a unique type of situation there, to be sure. But it's an incredible thing. And as I said earlier, you know, it was incredible to close it out with Rush's show today. As many of you know, there's going to be new programming that's going to be coming out, and you know, I don't know what's going to happen, but this show, as we knew it and as we know it, is winding down, and not my show, Rush's show, and there'll be something new there. And it was a real honor to be here pitching one of those last games, because, you know, I grew up with the guy and I grew up with the team, and it's been wonderful. Thank you to TJ and Josh and, of course, Bo Thompson and Anna and Boomer and Mark Garrison and each and every one of you. I'll be away tomorrow, but I'll be back on Monday starting at 3. News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT.
Thank you. That's all I can say. Thank you.